For the last two Lord's Days, we've been studying together the sovereignty of God. And our study this morning will also relate to the nature of God, as many today have a false concept of God's nature, despite the very fact that we can know God, as Jesus prayed in John 17:3, for example. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So, of course, we can know God. We can know his will and about his nature as he has revealed it to us in the Holy Scriptures. Well, the reason these people have a false concept is their thinking is off target. You see, they are thinking, since God is a God of love, that he will overlook doctrinal error, and that attitude is the key in Christianity. Have you ever heard somebody mention something like this? So they go on to say, rather than obeying rules and regulations, even though they're God's commands, we should point that out to them, they're thinking, you know, the attitude is more important. Well, all right, of course our attitude is important, but so is our actions, is it not? In John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, yes, with a proper attitude, but also what? In truth, in accordance to God's will, his pattern, following it. That's action. So we need both together. So these false concepts that people are espousing are refuted by the Word of God. Of course they are. Romans 11:22. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fail, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Of course there are many passages that can be given. Here's a few more. Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That should get our attention. Hebrews 12:29. Here's another one. For our God is a consuming fire. And note what Jesus said in Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I think we get the point if we accept God's word. So, our study this morning, we're going to ask some well-known characters in the Bible several questions relating to God's nature. Number one, will God overlook doctrinal error as long as one's attitude is good? Number two, does God's commands, as they would term rules and regulations, would they, these commands become irrelevant when a person's attitude is so sincere? Well, we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE. And we should know that is the most important thing we could be doing. What that stands for is preparing for eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street as we gather together in our Bible classes. Well, of course, we're studying God's precious Word, the Holy Bible. Then, as we come together to worship God in the assembly, we're striving to do so with, again, the proper attitude, but also in truth. John 4:24, as we mentioned a moment ago. And we would be very much appreciative of you joining in with us. And we would want to welcome you as best we know how. Now, something else to mention. If you are interested in studying the Bible together, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. And we always appreciate your Bible questions or comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, one other announcement, and that is the Morgan County Fair is approaching very soon, and beginning July the 5th, going through the 13th. We're planning from the Morgan Street Church of Christ to have a booth in the Merchants Building, where we look forward to meeting you. And please tell us if you listen to the radio program. We're going to be handing out, of course, free Bible materials, such as the House to House, Heart to Heart publication, tracts on different topics, signing people up for Bible correspondence courses. So we hope that you will come by and meet us and get some free material. Now, let's get back to our study, as we've entitled this lesson, Witnesses for the Nature of God, as we're going to ask these well-known Bible characters in God's Word these questions concerning His nature. Again, will God overlook doctrinal error as long as one's attitude is good? Does God's commands, as they would term rules and regulations, become irrelevant when a person is sincere? Moses, do you have something to say about the nature of God? Yes, God told me, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. Numbers 20, verse 8. But Moses goes on to say, I did not obey God and smote the rock. Because of my disobedience, I was not allowed to enter into the promised land. Moses, you were chosen by God to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, out of the bondage of Egypt there. And yet, you were not allowed to enter the promised land? That's right. Because of my unbelief, I did not obey God. Numbers 20, verse 12. Let's go on. Nadab and Abihu, do you have something to say about the nature of God? Yes. We offered strange fire before the Lord, which God did not command. Leviticus 10, 1. And because of this, we were devoured by fire. Leviticus 10, verse 2. Were ye not the sons of Aaron, the high priest, and priest yourselves? Yes. Nadab and Abihu go on to say, but we offered fire which was not authorized by God. Again, that was Leviticus 10, 1. Let's go on. Achan, do you have something to say about the nature of God? Yes. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. Joshua 7:21. I took the accursed thing, that which God had said not to take. He certainly did, as Moses, of course, recorded it in Deuteronomy. It was a warning given. But no, Achan goes on to say, it cost me not only my life, but my family's as well. Joshua 7:15, verses 25 and 26. Well, let's go on. King Saul, do you have something to say about the nature of God? Yes, God through Samuel told us, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. 1 Samuel 15:3. Saul goes on to say, but we spared Agag, the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. 1 Samuel 15:9. King Saul, what became of your life after that incident? The Lord rejected me from being king over Israel. I became jealous of David to the point of trying to kill him. I sought counsel from a woman of divination, a witch, and after being wounded by the Philistines, I took my own life with a sword. 1 Samuel 15:26, verse 28, chapter 31, 1 through 7. Let's go on. Uzzah, do you have something to say about the nature of God? Yes, I put forth my hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. 2 Samuel 6:6. But I was not a priest. Thus I disobeyed God when I touched the ark, resulting in God striking me dead. Only the priests were to transport the ark of the covenant, and they would have the poles going through the rings. That was God's instructions. God meant what he said. So we go on to ask Uzzah, what was your attitude when you did this? Oh, I was very sincere and meant well, but the fact remains that I disobeyed the command of God when I touched the ark of God, and I received the severe punishment of death. Well, that's what the Bible says, is it not? Well, let's go on. Ananias and Sapphira, do you have something to say about the nature of God? Yes, we had a piece of land and sold it to give money to the Lord's cause. We said that we were giving all the money from the sale of the land, but we kept some of the money. Thus we lied before God. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. You were willing to give to the Lord's church, but what happened when you lied to God about this gift? True, we wanted to help the Lord's church, but God struck us dead because had the apostles not known about our lie, the Lord's church would not have been on solid ground had we been able to deceive the apostles. Acts 5:5-11. That's the sad ending of Ananias and Sapphira. They were not faithful to God in lying about what they gave. But let's go on and ask this question. What do the inspired writers of the New Testament, what will they say on this very subject? And thus we can ask them. For example, starting with Brother Luke, why did Jesus say, remember Lot's wife, in Luke 17:32? Do you remember what happened to Lot's wife in Genesis 19:26? She became a monument of the consequences of those who disobey God. She disobeyed God because her heart was still in Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus went on to say in the next verse, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Luke 17:33. So we must do God's will, even if it means dying for the cause of Christ. Revelation 2:10, we'll receive a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. That's being put to death, is it not? Well, let's ask another inspired writer of the New Testament a question. Brother Paul, do you have something to say about God overlooking doctrinal error? To all in the Lord's church, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of what? Of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This is Ephesians, notice, Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. Notice, Paul goes on to say, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them," Romans 16, 17. Paul goes on to say, "To all gospel preachers in the Lord's church, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 3. Paul goes on to say, "To the elders of the Lord's church, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Titus 1, 9. Excuse me. Now let's ask Brother John, do you have something to say about the subject of love? Yes, he's often referred to as the apostle of love. Certainly he's the one to ask here. This would also include attitudes. Well, John said, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." That's 2 John 6. And John goes on to say, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." 2 John 9, 10 and 10. Well, let's go on and ask Brother Peter, do you have something to say about our subject, as we're talking about how some are saying attitude is the key and not being concerned with God's commandments, just being sincere? Brother Peter, do you have something to say? Notice what Peter said. "That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." 2 Peter 3, 2. Peter goes on to say, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness," that would be, of course, Hades, "to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly." Well, think about what our nation is doing as we speak. Such ungodliness. Well, let's go on with what Peter had to say. "And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Well, is our righteous soul being vexed with the unlawful deeds around us? It should be, certainly should. But let's go on. Peter said, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." 2 Peter 2, 4 through 9. You see, as we're asking these brethren the seriousness of understanding the true nature of God and not being turned away by those who would get us to think that only attitude is important. And we don't have to deal with rules and regulations, as they term it. Well, who are they speaking for? They're not speaking for God. We've seen that clearly as we studied this morning. Yes, and we can ask Brother James, do you have something to say about this? Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's like a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He doesn't make the correction. As he sees himself in the mirror, and there may be some egg on his, you know, cheek and chin. Needs clean at all. How about combing your hair or whatever needs to be done in a physical sense? But we're talking, of course, about the spiritual sense. Looking into the mirror of the soul, that's God's word. That's what James is talking about, is it not? Notice, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, here we are, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James 1, 21 through 25. And we can ask Brother Jude as well. James was a half-brother of the Lord, and Jude as well. So let's see what Jude has to say about our study this morning about the nature of God. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude, did you say the faith or the face? Jude is going to obviously say, can't you read in the scriptures what the Holy Spirit inspired me to write? The faith. That's one faith, one system of faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Jude 3 through 5. Does that not get our attention about the nature of God, that he's not going to tolerate error and just thinking sincerity is going to get it? No, sir. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, what is my concept of the nature of God? Is it the true concept that I get from his revelation, from the Holy Scriptures? What conclusions should we make concerning our questions? Again, as we started out, will God overlook doctrinal error as long as one's attitude is good? What should we answer? Of course not. We've seen example after example. God didn't accept one's attitude being good and disobeying his command. Never once did we see that. Just the opposite. Does God's commands, and as again they would say rules and regulations, become irrelevant when a person is sincere? Uzzah can, you know, say, of course, that's not true. They do not become irrelevant. I learned that the hard way. I died thinking I'm protecting the ark from hitting the ground. But it was not the will of God to do that. God meant what he said, still does. We need to, again, understand our attitude is important, but so is our actions. We're to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, might. Matthew 22:37. We're to have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. And we're certainly to have a working faith, not a faith only type faith. That's a dead faith, James 2:24. And understand again, God means what he says. God's justice cannot tolerate sin. Therefore, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon, he experimented. We don't need to do what he did. Tried to find happiness and pleasure, earthly wisdom, riches. He was no doubt one of the richest men on the earth in his lifetime, if not the most richest man living, as his wealth is described. And you can see this in Ecclesiastes. But thankfully, Solomon came to the proper conclusion, and this is what we should conclude. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Did we get that? For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Where do we stand with our thinking? Do we understand God's word is telling us what God would have us to do to become a Christian? Not faith only, not grace only. No, God's grace is something we cannot earn. God's mercy, we don't deserve it. Of course not. Works of merit are excluded. Ephesians 2:8-9 certainly declare that. Not by works, lest any man should boast. We can't earn our salvation by doing works such as curing cancer. That'd be wonderful. But that's not going to save our soul. It's doing the will of God, submitting to his will, and obeying the gospel of Christ after hearing the truth. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Of course, we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, John 8:24. Now, repentance, that's a command to turn away from a sinful life and do the will of God. That's changing our will, Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made that good confession, now we're ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism to contact the precious blood of Christ, Romans 6:3-6, and then live faithfully unto death. We thank you so much for listening today.